This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and the Texas Rangers have done some significant work. And man, as the home of the Rangers and the baseball show of record, we felt that it was our obligation to ensure that you get the best quality baseball talk you can find. And that is why we reached out to our good friend, Michael Bassick, who is on vacation this week, but said, you know what, guys, screw it. I want to be on radio. Mike, how's it going, man?
Awesome, man. Just got off the Peloton. Cut the ride a little short. Just going to be honest. Cut the ride about 5 minutes short to make sure that I'm ready to go.
Okay. Well, appreciate that, man. I really do appreciate that. And I still get to say see you next year at the end of this thing. All right, Mike. So which one do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Nate Lowe, or do you want to talk about the addition of Joc Pederson?
Well, let's talk about the loss of Nate Lowe. Let's just go in kind of the order it happened, because I was a little bit surprised by the Nate Lowe trade. And if you remember, Corey, we were talking, I don't know, let's say it was 2 weeks ago. You know, you kind of forget the rumors, but when Chris Young came out and said, hey, we're looking for another left-handed batter.
Yes.
And I thought, ooh, what, why? You have Corey Seager, you have Nate Lowe, you have Evan Carter, who really struggles against lefties early in his career. And pretty much I would say Jonah Heim is a left-hand hitting catcher. I know he's a switch hitter, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times if a lefty's going to pitch, those were days that maybe you would give him off to get your other catcher in there, give him a day off. So I'm like, you have four lefties in your lineup, and you really have to protect one of them in Evan Carter because of – and I'll say this, Leody Taveras is a left-handed hitter too, right-handed. You know, he can struggle tremendously as a switch hitter. So I'm looking at it the other night going, well, son of a gun, man. Nate Lowe, if we compare him to Will Clark, if we compare him to Rafael Palmeiro, if we compare him to Mark Teixeira, if we compare him to kind of former Ranger greats that were first basemen, his numbers don't stack up tremendously well.
Right.
But if you look at Nate Lowe compared to what first basemen do in today's game, because it's really weird. We've talked about this on how first baseman offensive numbers have gone down recently. Nate Lowe is a very good hitting first baseman in the American League. Yeah, Vladdy Jr., way better. There are certain guys that are better, but he finishes top five in almost every statistical category from an offensive perspective at first base. So I was surprised that Chris Young traded him, but I didn't know he had Joc Pederson up his sleeve.
Okay, and we'll get to Joc in just a moment too, Mike, but when it comes to Nate Lowe, that dude, I will give him a ton of credit. A, won a World Series, but B, also was not known as a defensive first baseman when he got here and worked very hard on his defense. And then on top of that, was a very productive part at times for what turned out to be a World Series champion. Didn't he have like an 18-pitch at-bat that really took things to the next level against Houston? So I'm going to miss him. It was nice to have him, but I understood kind of the direction they were looking at there.
Yeah, he was a great personality too. I mean, we've got to know him in spring training. I got to know him traveling with the team. He's a really fun-loving guy. He's a guy that probably keeps the clubhouse loose. He's a guy that I know keeps the media loose. He is a good personality and a good teammate, and he will be missed But I think this goes to, they didn't play 500 baseball last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the end, in September, they played better. And I get it. Like, people stopped paying attention. They weren't in a race. The Cowboys had started. And I'm not asking people to pay attention to September baseball if the Rangers are dead and gone out of a playoff race. And most people stop following it. He had a nice September. He improved his numbers. But I think Chris Young looked at it, like I talked about the other day, and now Chris Young doesn't have a defending world champion. He doesn't have a team that made it to the playoffs. And I think Chris Young, I'll compare it to a little bit of this, the Philadelphia Eagles. He's like, I don't care what they did in 2023 now. That is, I think, to Chris Young, I'm not going to say completely dead and gone, but he's changing the team. We're seeing where he feels like he can change the team, and he's changing to see, team to see if it can be better than 2024 and not just relying on 2023.
I love that analysis. And, Mike, you were talking about his personality, and everybody loved his personality, especially when you popped on the radio and you could kind of feel the guy. Is that – I don't know for a fact, and maybe you do – is that kind of like the personality that Berger's bringing, that they brought in Berger?
I think that's a good thought, Chris, is that
– clubhouse guy?
Yeah, I think we got to interview Jake Berger last week, and he was awesome, and we've heard great things. Obviously, Skip Schumacher, who's now part of the front office, who was the manager in Miami, knows him well.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this – and I know being around the team, and I brought this up to Chris Young in Seattle, kind of the last road trip of the year, one of the last road trips of the year. And I was kind of like, are you guys missing, not talent-wise, but are you guys missing on this team a kind of Ian Kinsler type of personality? And the best way I can describe Ian Kinsler, and I think his teammates would describe him this way, is
competitive.
F that other team, F that pitcher, F everybody else. We're going to kill them. I don't care who's on the mound. I don't care who we're playing. I don't care where we're at. We are better. I am better. And let's go stick it up somebody's rear.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that kind of, you know, I'm trying to take out cuss words, but obviously
right.
There's a lot of cussing in sports. But like,
right.
Now, Nate Lowe is not that personality. I don't know if Jake Berger's that personality. Like you said, Jake Berger kind of maybe that fun-loving, mm-hmm. keep things loose type of guy. You need guys that keep things loose. And it's tough to criticize a team that won a World Series in 2023. But I just – sometimes being around the team, I'm like, they need that guy that everybody you play against hates, but everybody on your team says that's our guy and we love him the most.
Mm-hmm.
So I love what you're talking about personality, Chris, because I do think every team, especially once you get to a team of 25 or more football, obviously 50-something or more, is you need different personalities to motivate teammates in
yeah.
different ways. And I do think Berger might take that Nate Lowe personality and bring it there. I don't know Joc Pederson well. I know that obviously Corey Seager does. They played together on the LA Dodgers. But I'm hoping that Joc Pederson might have a little bit of that Ian Kinsler personality.
Mike, before we get to Pederson, I do want to talk about what you got back from the Nate Lowe trade. Is Robert Garcia, the lefty, bullpen arm. He's a guy that's heavy on the four-seam change and slider, but I don't know if you got to watch much of him. I watched a little bit of him last night, and something that stuck out on the Baseball Savant is that he's actually really high in Major League Baseball in chase percentage. He's in the 94th percentile with a 33.6% whiff percentage. So what have you seen? What have you maybe heard? And do you like this addition, a lefty that could play as a leverage guy?
Well, I would say if we're just looking at talent for talent, Nate Lowe is more talented than Garcia and is a much more valuable player because he's an everyday first baseman and you're getting a lefty reliever. I do think this was, in a way, a trade to open up the money to bring in Joc Pederson. So I'm not saying I dislike Garcia. We will see. Relievers are so tough to like say, well, I know what he's going to be year in and year out, especially when you don't have a lot of, let's say, innings pitched and you're not 32 years old and you've thrown in 500 major league games. So Garcia to the Rangers, I assume, has a lot of potential. They think that they can get more out of him. I believe he threw 295 changeups last year and all 295 were against right-handed hitters.
Hmm.
So he is a two-pitch pitcher. And what I mean by that is He's going to be predominantly a fastball changeup guy to righties, and then a fast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball, breaking ball guy to lefties. His numbers are okay, but I'm assuming this. The Rangers see that they have control over a left-handed relief pitcher for the next 4 to 5 years, and they believe that he can improve, and they believe that this gives them depth, along with Milner, who they picked up, who is also a fastball changeup guy. So this is a little bit weird when you start looking at the Rangers lefty-on-lefty guys. And in fact, I want to say Milner is better against righties than he is lefties. I was looking over splits last night, and I need to kind of relook at them to kind of, I say memorize them, to kind of ingrain them in my head. So I'm not talking so much off the top of my head. But I look at, they picked up two lefties who are both fastball changeup guys who have a breaking ball and who aren't lefty on lefty super specialists, which is fine. You have to pitch against righties in today's game because of the three batter minimum. But I think that Chris Young is looking for depth. He doesn't want to go into spring training, and let's just take Jacob Latz, who had a good start to the season, but not a great finish to the season. Obviously, he got sent down to the minors and stayed down in the minors. And then Walter Pennington, who they got from Kansas City in the Michael Lorenzen trade. I don't think he wanted to rely on somewhat inexperienced lefties. So now he's brought in two lefties who are experienced. So now they have four to compete for at least two jobs, maybe three. I still don't love this bullpen. I think Chris Young still needs a closer. I'm hoping Kirby Yates. And I'm still looking at maybe adding a setup guy who I like.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Yates' name because I had that listed down there. The money that was moved around, it looks like the money got put into Jock Peterson's pile. Does that take away from the chance of getting Kirby Yates, in your opinion? Or, I mean, because that's been somebody, you love what he did last year, and you've been like, we need to get that guy back.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I just remember, Corey, working with you, and we talked about, we saw that the Rangers had approximately, right, we don't know all the numbers and deferred money and whatever, is they had approximately $53 million to work with this offseason. And so we can kind of do basic math, and we can go with, well, if you look at your backup catcher, he took, I think, approximately $6 million away from that. If you look at Eovaldi, he took away $25 million of that. Now you have to go, oh, well, we got the money from Nate Lowe, but then you have to take the Jock Peterson contract into account. I guarantee you Chris Young in the front office knows exactly where they're at budget-wise and what they have left and what they need to do. So I hope that they don't go into this spring training, because I think this would be a bad idea to go, let's let Webb and Garcia and Milner and our young guys, whether it's Teoto, whether it's Leiter, whether it's, you know, I'm throwing out Cole Wynn, I'm not saying he will be, they're going to compete for the eighth and ninth inning jobs, and somebody and people will just rise to the top. I think that's a really bad idea. We've seen that with the Cowboys, and going, we don't need wide receivers. Let's just throw out these five guys, and the quarterback will just figure it out, and we'll get a number one, and we'll get a number two, and we'll figure out who's three and four. And you're like, it's not a good idea. And I don't think it's a good idea. And I don't think Chris Young is done, but I do think that through listening to him on The Fan, he was very frustrated with last season. And we can see that he is doing quite a bit to this team to try to change it, not a lot, but change it enough that you feel like it's a different team going to spring training.
Last thing before we let you go here, Mike, the how do you expect Jock Peterson to get used in this defense, and where would you put him in this lineup at the moment?
Great question.
Thank you.
He's only a DH. Literally, the last time he was an average defender was 2016. I mean, You want to? 2016 was Corey Seager's rookie year with the Dodgers. So, I mean, he cannot play defense. If you put him out there, it's going to bite you in the butt if you put him out there enough on defense. In the lineup, this is the interesting thing. This is where I'm like, I like, but I don't love. Jock Peterson can't hit lefties. Neither can Evan Carter right now. So now Bruce Bochy is going to have to go back to somewhat his National League days, and maybe he's the perfect manager for this, is you're going to have kind of a manager who manipulates lineups and changes it a lot because of Peterson and Carter. You're going to have to keep those two guys away from each other in the lineup, because the last thing you want is in the sixth inning, you are facing a righty, but they bring in a lefty, and you go, well, I don't want to take out Peterson and Carter yet. And then those are two automatic outs, let's just say. And then in the eighth inning, they come back up to bat and they bring in another left-handed reliever. And now you're like, well, who do I bring in? And right now I'd say Ezekiel Duran is going to play a major role on this team as of now, because Peterson and Carter don't really start against left-handed pitchers. And that's tough to have two guys in your lineup who cannot really hit left-handed pitching. So it's going to be interesting to see how Bochy and Young come up with a lineup, and then how do they manipulate it? Because when lefties are pitching, and Leody Taveras does not hit good from the right side at all, so he's not really an answer to help you out with Carter. And so if I take Jock Peterson out, the answer would be Ezekiel Duran.
Yeah, and that dude could be a trade piece, right? Like, we're still trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, so right now I feel like they really need a righty hitter to platoon with Jock Peterson, and maybe they'd believe it's Ezekiel Duran. I don't know.
Any? Did you want to say anything about Ricky Henderson and your experience?
You
with
got him, man.
Dang, man. This one hurt a lot. I remember as a kid, I had his. If you have to be 40 something, I think, or older to remember these posters. But Sports Illustrated / you could get them at Oshman's when I was a kid, would put out these posters, and one of the posters I had was Ricky Henderson in his Yankee jersey running to first base. He was my first ever favorite player. And then in 2007, I did get to meet Ricky Henderson, and it was awesome. And we were hanging out in a hotel, and, you know, he passed me, you know, a little smoke. And I was like, I've never done this before in my life, but this is the greatest leadoff hitter of all time, and he seems like an awesome dude. So
you had to do what you had to do.
I had to do what I had to do. And I will always say to this, I was like, I didn't notice any difference, but I've never – I didn't – at that point in my life – I never really smoked anything. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life still to this day. So I'm like, I don't even know if I did it right. And I only took two puffs, and I was like, I'm good. Like, thanks, Ricky. Like, he passed it back to me. Like, I'm good, Ricky. Thanks. But I mean, Ricky Henderson, what a personality. And I'm so sad because, Chris, in Oakland, the last game ever, Ricky Henderson was there. And we were so busy getting ready for the telecast and you know, and I didn't go. Oh, and so many people wanted to see Ricky, right? I mean, Ricky Henderson Field last day, he was in such great shape. I mean, Chris, you're in great shape. You guys look the same as in shape and body wise. I can't believe the guy I saw at the end of September, who's in better shape than I am, like, died from pneumonia. Is that still what
I think that's what they're saying. I haven't heard the official.
Yeah, I don't have that.
But you know what's so crazy? Like you say, in your mind, you're probably saying, I'll catch him next time because he's being mobbed right now.
Yeah. So anyway, man, just he was my first ever favorite player in baseball. Odubi McDowell was my first ever Ranger favorite player. And it really hurt. And then, I know this is Sports Talk Radio, have fun. You just start thinking about mortality. You just start thinking about your life. I'm 47 now, and he was 65 and better shape than I am. I'm like, do I only have 18 more years to live? What guarantees me 18 more years? Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyways, when kind of your heroes die, it hurts.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you for great hopping stuff, on man. With us and bringing down the room right here at the end. Really appreciate it, man. I look forward to seeing you next year, man.
Yeah, see you next year.
All right,
Mike.
Buddy. I'll see you next year.
Right, we'll see you, man.
Mike Bassick right here on 105.3 The Fan. As a matter of fact, we'll talk a little more Ricky Henderson next.
Worth it.
In Wanker of the Weekend. That's always worth it to hear that from Mike. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.